Okay, I think we're about ready to start. I'm going to put everyone on mute, and you can unmute yourself if you want to make a comment or ask a question. Okay. So this week's parasha is Parashas Bo, and like to focus beginning on the beginning a little bit in the middle of the parsha, starting on page 344, 345, if you have the Stone Chumash, where it talks about the plague of darkness, Makas Choshech, 344, 345. And the pasuk begins. Hashem said to Moshe, "Netei yodcha al shamayim, stretch forth your hand toward the heavens. Vihi choshech al eretz Mitzrayim, and there shall be darkness upon the land of Egypt. V'yomeish choshech." The Arts Gold translates it following Rashi, and the darkness will be tangible. Actually, this word v'yomeish choshech is difficult to translate. Rashi's translation is one of the translations. Rashi seems to connect the word v'yomesh to be word like mamos, related to the word mamash, it would seem. Mamashesh, he says, which means something like tangible, something that you can feel. The Yomish Choshech, that's how Rashi understands it. I'll just want to point out that there's an interesting way to translate this word V'yomish, which would seem to be kind of paradoxical, because this word mush, the root mem shin, can also mean, besides Rashi puts it in, translates it tangible, but there's another way of translating this root. It's actually a word that we find at the beginning of next week's parasha, where the pasuk talks about the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, and it says there lo yomush amud ha'esh. This would be the pasuk, Lo Yomish, actually. Lo Yomish, Amid Ha'anan Yom of Amid Esh Lolof Ne'a Om. It's in this next week's parasha, and there it says, he did not remove. So the word mush, mem shin, can actually mean to remove. But if we would translate that over here, the way it would read is, there shall be darkness upon the land of Egypt, V'yomish Choshech, and darkness will be removed. And that sounds kind of paradoxical, that there will be darkness and darkness will be removed. So what is it? Is it darkness coming or darkness being removed? Is there a way of understanding it that way? That's question number one. Then the pasuk continues. 344, by 8, Moshe Yodo al Shamayim, Pasuk 22, Chavbeis, by 8, Moshe Yodo al Shamayim, Moshe stretched forth his hand towards the heavens, by he choshech hafeilu b'chalaris mitzrayim shloshes yomim, and there was a thick darkness throughout the land of Egypt for a 3-day period, v'ro ish es achiv alokomish mitachtav shloshes yomim, no man could see his brother, nor could anyone rise from his place for a 3-day period, Ulechal b'nei Yisrael haya or b'mosh vosam. But for all the children of Israel, there was light in their dwellings. So I saw another question here. It says the contrast that the Egyptians couldn't see one another. They couldn't even get up. And the B'nai Yisrael had light. So the question is an interesting question. The question is, it would seem more appropriate for the pasuk to write it. The contrast would be that the Egyptians had darkness, and the Bnei Yisrael and the children of Israel did not have darkness. If we look, I was checking up previously in last week's parasha. We had a number of times this concept mentioned that the plagues only affected the Egyptians and didn't affect the Jews. So it says, for example, it's written there, if I can find it here, it says, hold on 1 second, it says there was barad, and there was hail in the land of Egypt, and then it says, and in the land of Goshen, lo haya barad, there wasn't hail. Okay? Here there was hail, there wasn't hail. By the pestilence, by the dever, it says that it talks about how the Vayomos kol mikne Mitzrayim, all the livestock of Egypt died, and the ones from the Jews no one died. Doesn't say they lived, it says they didn't die, right? So with here we have the contrast. But by the Egyptians there was hail, by the Jews there was no hail. By the Egyptians the livestock died, by the Jews the livestock did not die. So by the Egyptians there was darkness, by the Jews there was, should have said, no darkness. Instead it says there was light. What's the significance of putting it that way? And as I'm reading this, I want to ask another question. I wasn't planning on asking this question, but I think that maybe according to the idea that I want to talk about tonight, it would answer this question, so I'll ask it. When it discusses of the effects of the darkness on the Egyptians, it says, Lo ro ish es achiv. It says, it puts it in terms of not seeing one another. They didn't see ish es achiv. One did not see his brother. Why is it put in terms of not seeing other people? They didn't say anything, presumably. So why the emphasis on they didn't see one another? That's another question. Finally, I want to ask one more question, and this goes into the next plague, the final plague of Makis Bechoros, where the pasuk says, find it here. One second, please. I'm sorry. So we have the pasuk. Let's in the on page 346. On page on Perek Yudal, chapter 11, pasuk Dalet, pasuk 4. It says, "Vayomer Moshe said, Ko amar Hashem, Tzotzer Hashem, Kachatzos alayla ani." Yotzei b'soch Mitzrayim. At about midnight, I shall go out in the midst of Egypt. And so here we have this idea, which is actually emphasized more on other places later, where Hashem says something. There's something different about Makis Bechoros, about the plague of the firstborn, that Hashem says, I will personally, so to speak, as it were, go out into Egypt. Hashem himself, in the Haggadah, we emphasize this point quite a bit. And even though Malach Hashem says, I will do it, but not an angel, not a Saraf, not an agent, but Hashem bechvodo ba'atzmo. Hashem went with all his glory. There was this direct intervention of Hashem himself, the way the Torah expresses it, by at the plague of the firstborn that was different than all of the other plagues. And the question is why and what's the significance of that? What does it mean? I mean, how are we supposed to understand that? I guess we can't really know exactly what it means, but how are we supposed to understand this idea that it's Hashem himself? What's the significance of it? And why at that point, it was at that particular plague is where that happened. So let's just review the questions that we asked. I think there's enough questions for now. We wanted to know regarding the plague of darkness. First of all, what is this idea, the Yom Eish Choshech, which if perhaps we can translate it as there should be darkness and darkness will be removed. What's this idea of darkness being removed in the context of the plague of darkness itself? And the second question about the darkness was, why do we describe the contrast of the Jewish people to the Jewish people as having light as opposed to just saying they didn't have the darkness? And third question is regarding the plague of the firstborn. What's the idea that it was Hashem himself and not an angel? What's that concept altogether? What's the significance of it, and why just at that point? So, to begin answering the questions, I'd like to share with you something which I never heard before, don't recall hearing before this year, before actually just a week ago or so, which is a fascinating interpretation of the plague of darkness from the Kedushas Levi, from Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Baditchev, in his Sefer Kedushas Levi in the Torah. I have to thank Rabbi Karnofsky for calling my attention to this. Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Baditchev makes the following interesting connection. I think he brings a few different sources in the Gemara to this concept, but I think the easiest one is the following. The Gemara, so I don't remember where it is right now, but the Gemara tells us that at some point in the future, Hashem, the Gemara gives the following image. It says, Hashem is going to take Chama Meinartika. He's going to take the sun out of its bag, so to speak. And that will be a healing for the tzaddikim, for the righteous. And it will also be a din on the Rishoyim. It will be a meeting out justice to the wicked. The same act of removing the sun from its cover, whatever that means, from its sheath, from its shield, something like that, is going to be going to bring healing to the tzaddikim and bring something painful to the rishonim. So what's that idea? And we find that concept in other places as well. But what is this idea that the removal of the sun, the shield of the sun, has kind of like opposite effects on the tzaddikim and on the rishonim? So I think the way to understand this is that we actually experience something like this in the natural world. The sun is our source of light, and obviously we can't see anything without the sun. The sun gives us our vision. Any vision that we have basically traces the sun. Now we have the moon, maybe we have some stars, but for the most part, it's the sun. The moon is a reflection of the sun. The stars may have their own light, but the point is the sun is what gives us our light for the most part. Now, but there's also, the sun can also blind someone. If a person, we know that if a person looks directly at the sun, stares at the sun, that can blind a person. Either temporarily while a person's looking at the sun, they're not able to see anything, or it can actually cause permanent blindness if a person has too much direct exposure of his eyes to the sunlight. So the idea is, and this is a natural phenomenon, but it also reflects something very spiritual reality too, is that the sun, the source of light, if it has to be utilized by someone to the extent that they're able to receive it safely. But if there's an overload of sunlight, and the overload is defined by it being beyond the capability of the recipient of that sunlight to be able to process it in the proper and safe manner, not only doesn't it give the person light, but it has the opposite effect. It makes it dark. The sun, the very same sun, will bring darkness to the person. So that's the idea, that Hashem's going to take the sun out of its shield, and now there's going to be this blinding sunlight, and it's going to be blinding for those who don't have the ability, who don't have their eyes are not developed enough to be able to process that sunlight in the right way, and therefore it's going to be blinding for them, and that's what it's going to do to the Rishoyim. But for the Tzaddikim, it's just the opposite. The Tzaddikim have developed their spiritual eyesight, so to speak, so much that they're actually in a sense they need healing, meaning that they don't have enough light in the situation in this world or what we have it now. They have the ability, their spiritual eyesight, as it were, has the ability to see and to understand and to process much more than they're actually doing. And therefore, when Hashem removes the shield from the sun, that's actually going to be a healing for the tzaddikim. So that's this idea that an abundance of light is a healing for someone who can handle it, and it's blinding for someone who can't handle it. Says Reb Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev, an amazing idea. He actually proves this point also from a Medrash, but he says that this was the plague of darkness. He says the plague of darkness was that Hashem turned on the lights. You hear this? Vayomesh Choshech, that he removed the darkness. The plague of darkness came from removing the darkness. So and the way we have to look at that is that what Hashem did during those days in Egypt was that he removed the shield that's in front of the sun. We can understand this in a physical way. We also have to understand it also in a spiritual way. But what Hashem did was he took away the darkness, meaning he took away the blockage of the sun's light, and therefore it became so light that it threw the Egyptians into darkness. Just as if somebody stares at the sun and then all of a sudden the world goes black. And that was the darkness for the Egyptians. And that's why the Torah puts this terminology that he meant there was going to be darkness, because darkness is going to be removed. Because that's how the darkness came on the Egyptians, by the removal of darkness. And that's why when it says, it doesn't just say that the Jewish people didn't have darkness. It says the Jewish people have light because it was an extra dosage of light that the Jewish people had, more than they normally had. On the contrary, because the plague of darkness was this super shining of light, and the Jewish people were able to handle that, therefore they had extra light. Whereas for the Egyptians, they had no light because they couldn't handle that kind of light. That's how the Berditchever explains the plague of darkness. I thought that's a really fascinating idea, which I had never heard before. Now, I think that I did hear a similar concept regarding the plague of the firstborn. The plague of the firstborn I've heard, I don't remember where I heard this or saw this, but the plague of the firstborn, Hashem says, I am going to go out myself, so to speak, among the Egyptians. And we find the Haggadah, we talk about Gilui Shekhinah, was a revelation of the Shekhinah that happened at the time of the plague of the firstborn. And the plague of the firstborn, we wanted to know before why specifically at the plague of the firstborn that's what happened, because this was the moment that Hashem was taking the Jewish people out of Egypt. This was the moment where the final separation was taking place between the Jewish people and the Egyptians. Until then, they were subsumed in the Egyptian society. They didn't have their own national identity. It hadn't been created yet. It hadn't been forged, and they were bound up together with the identity of the Egyptians during all those years of Golus. And now came finally the time at the plague of the firstborn that Hashem was removing them from Egypt. It was the removal. It was in a sense, it was like an amputation, but it was the as far as the Egyptians were concerned, but it was the removal, it was a birth, and the Midrashim could say it was kind of like a birth. The Jewish people were being born out of the womb of the Egyptians, so to speak. And that was happening at the time of the plague of the firstborn. And therefore, at that very time, Hashem came, he revealed himself to the world or in Egypt. He came down himself, directly meaning, again, most of the time, or almost all the time, the way Hashem deals with the world, at least, it depends, at least at that point, up until that point, the way Hashem was dealing with the Egyptians and with the Jewish people for the most part was in an indirect way. Indirect way means, again, with mechitzas, with certain curtains hiding the presence of Hashem. Which again, it's like the shield in front of the sun. It's like hiding Hashem's light. The Amalek, an angel, is an intermediary, so to speak, which is kind of that Hashem is acting in the world, but he's acting in a way that his presence is not as apparent. Because if his presence will be too apparent, then that will be too blinding and the world won't be able to exist the way it's supposed to exist. And that's why normally Hashem acts through malachim, through agents. But here Hashem was coming and he was, we'll talk a little bit more about why it had to be this way. But at this moment where he was creating the Jewish people, Hashem came in all his glory, so to speak, b'chvado v'atzmo, was more than it was by choshech. It sounds like the darkness plague was like a warm-up for this. But the real Gilui Shekhinah, the highest level of the revelation of Hashem, was at the point where Hashem went out into Mitzrayim. And that revelation itself is what killed the Egyptian firstborn, because of the inability of the Egyptians to be able to handle this intensity of the light, so to speak, of Hashem's revelation. That's what killed the firstborn. That's what the Jewish people, the Jewish firstborns were skipped over, because this is the ultimate split between the Egyptians and the Jews, that the Jews are the ones who have the ability to connect to a higher level of Hashem's light than the rest of the world. And we'll try to talk a little bit about why that is in a moment. But right now, suffice it to say that was the dividing line. That's, you know, we can say separate the men from the boys. That's what separated the Jews from the Egyptians, the Jews from the Egyptians. What separated was what happens when Hashem comes down in all his glory without any angels and interacts with the world in that way. How does that affect the Egyptians? How does that affect the Jews? And the way it affected the Egyptians is that the firstborn died. And the way that affected the Jews is that they gained this tremendous level of connection to Hashem. And thus was born Hashem's people at the Exodus from Mitzrayim. So it's this, it's a fascinating thing. It's really the same idea according to the Kedushas Levi, according to the Baditchera. I think that the Choshech was almost like a trial run, it seems to me, for what's going to happen in a much more intense way at the slaying of the firstborn. Now, what I would like to just talk about a little bit for the rest of the time we have today is why is that? What is it about the Jewish people that makes them able to handle the great light of the revelation of the Shekhinah more than anyone else? What's the secret of our eyesight, so to speak, of our spiritual eyesight to be able to handle that kind of thing? And so I think there's a couple of ideas here that I want to talk about for a few moments. But in order, I think that a hint to it is from what we find, what the Jewish people were told to be busy with during the slaying of the firstborn. And that was, they had to bring the Korban Pesach. They had to bring the Pesach offering. And what's the concept of the Pesach offering? So there are many different laws associated with the Pesach offering, and there's a lot to try to unpack as to what the Pesach offering represented. But one idea which we find stressed a number of times in the Pesukim that talk about the Pesach offering is, and I'll just read the things here, says on page 350, if you want to look at the pasuk, it talks about each household should take a sash, should take a sheep, and then it says on pasuk vav, pasuk six, it says the ha'yel lechem l'shmeres arba asayim l'chodesh hazeh. You should guard it till the 14th day of this month. V'shachatu also kol kahal adas Yisrael bein arbayim. The entire congregation of the assembly of Israel. A very strong emphasis over here on kol, the entire kahal congregation, adas Yisrael, assembly of Israel. And that's mentioned, that idea of Das Yisrael, Kol Gadas Yisrael, is mentioned more than once over here. So one of the major ideas of what the Korban Pesach represented is the unity of Kol Yisrael. The Korban Pesach actually was a very unusual kind of a Korban, where it was a Korban I think I spoke about this one time in the previous year, but the Korban Pesach was a Korban that, although each individual person in a way was an individual Korban, every individual had to have, or individual or family had, but every person had to have a part in a specific lamb that was brought for the Pesach. But unlike other individual Korbanos, the entire Jewish people brought it at the same time. So the idea of the Korban Pesach was the idea that although each individual has a significance as an individual, but it also emphasizes the concept of the unity of the Jewish people as a whole. And I think that this idea, first of all, if we want to know what it is about the Jewish people that give them the ability to connect to Hashem on a completely different level, to have an understanding and a vision of Hashem on a totally different level, one very important idea is the idea of the unity of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is one whole. We say in the Shabbos Mincha Davening, Ata Echad, you Hashem are one, the Shimcha Echad, you and your name is one, Umika Am Chisrael, and who is like your nation Israel? Goy Echad Ba'aretz, one nation in this world. And there's maybe more than one interpretation of this, but one idea is that the unity of the Jewish people is a unique phenomenon in the world. that the Jewish people are ish echad b'lev echad, like we find they're like we're connected, our neshama is all connected as one, and this unity is something that the Jewish people worked through during their slavery in Egypt. There's no time now to go through to bring the support to this. We've spoken about this in the past, how the slavery of the Jewish people brought out slavery can do one of two things. It can either make a person more selfish or it can make a person more selfless, depending on what you do with it and how you react to it. But the Jewish people reacted to their slavery by becoming more unified and by caring about one another more and by caring about the Jewish people as a whole more. And because of that, so what was going on was that during the plague of the firstborn, when Hashem came out into Egypt and he was revealing himself to the world, Hashem said that I want you, he gave the instructions to the Jewish people as to how they could tap in to their potential to be able to actually not only not be killed by the force of the Hashem's revelation, but actually be able to attach themselves to Hashem through that force. And one very, very major part of that is the fact that they brought the Korban Pesach as one. Kol Kahal Adas Yisrael, that the entire Jewish people was together as one. That's one way, and because that's one reason why they were able to have that extra vision. And I think there's one other point that I just want to bring out tonight. I'm sure there's a lot, many, many points here, but one point which I found a pasuk. I mean, I knew about this pasuk, but I wanted to connect to this pasuk in Sefer Devarim, Parshas Vaeschanan. I read it, that Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu says the following to the Jewish people, if you want to look in your Chumash on page 978, in Pasuk Vav. Sorry, Moshe says to the Jewish people, for you are a holy people to Hashem your God. B'cha b'char Hashem Alekecha. Hashem your God has chosen you, Leah's Laila Am Segula, to be for him for a treasured people above all the people on the face of the earth. So that pasuk is Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the Jewish people, you're special. Hashem chose you, and that choosing was happening right now at the point of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And then the next pasuk says, why did Hashem choose you? That's really our question, kind of, right? Why is Hashem pulling the Jewish people out of Egypt? Why, and choosing them to be the ones to connect to him, to be the ones that he can reveal himself? Says the pasuk, Lami rubchem mikol ha'anim chashuk Hashem b'chem, v'yivcha b'chem. Not because you are more numerous than all the peoples that Hashem desire you and choose you. So, which is strange, because why would you think that? The Jewish people are not more popular than the other people, but talk about it in a second. Like the pasuk, but you are the fewest of all the people. So says Rashi right here let's read one more pasuk. Ki mi'avas Hashem, because the pasuk actually connects this to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Ki mi'avas Hashem eschem, is because Hashem loves you. When we summarize that shvuah, forefathers, Hashem did take you out with a strong hand, and redeem you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Paro, king of Egypt. So here Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the Jewish people why Hashem took them out of Mitzrayim. So Rashi explains on the first part, the first pasuk is kind of an enigma. It says, not because you're a lot, because you're more populous, or because you're more, because you're the least. Okay, so of course, well, why does that have to be said? So Rashi quotes the Medrash, that the Medrash says, translates the pasuk differently. Lo merubcha means, it's because ein atem agdilim atzmechem, because you don't make yourself big when I kishani mashpia lechem tovah. It's because the Jewish people do not become don't let it get to their head, so to speak, when Hashem gives them good. That's lo mirubchem. You don't make yourself big. On the contrary, you make yourself small. It says like Avram said, I'm dust and ashes, and Moshe they said, and not like the kings of the other nations that when they make themselves, they brag about themselves and they think big of themselves. So I think the truth of the matter is that, as Svarim tell us, that if there's one area where the difference between the Egyptians and the Jewish people is the most pronounced, it's in this area that we just read from Parshas Veschanan. It's in this area of gaiva, of arrogance, of feeling puffed up ego, or ma'at, lowering oneself, another humility. Egypt, the Pharaoh, was a place that was full of arrogance. It was gaiva. And the Jewish people, as epitomized by Moshe Rabbeinu himself, was the epitome of humility. And it could be the humility, again, that was perhaps a result, in some sense, of their servitude, of their slavery in Egypt. But they kept that humility, that even when Hashem brought the Jewish people up to the top of the world, they never lost their ability to be humble and they were always able to keep the proper perspective and not get puffed up, on the contrary, to feel the right level of modesty and humility. And it's because of that, I think also, that's what the Jewish people, when the great light of the sun, or the great light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of the Gilui Shechina, comes on the world, someone who is all puffed up about himself can't handle it. He can't see the light of Hashem. He doesn't have the glasses to see. He's too busy looking at himself. So if the light gets exposed, that it's only Hashem there, he's not able to handle that. He doesn't have the ability to see beyond himself in that way. And therefore, when the sun gets uncovered, he can't handle it. And either there's darkness or there's the death of the firstborn. As the Jewish people, they have that humility. And it's because they have that humility, that's what separates them from the Egyptians. And that's why paradoxically, by making nothing of ourselves, by being mevatel ourselves, by lowering ourselves and not getting puffed up about ourselves, that actually gives us the ability to connect to the highest and the greatest in the world, which is the revelation of Hashem. And that's, I think, all part of what was going on during these two plagues, the plague of Choshech, which according to the Baditcher means really, it was really the plague of light, and the plague of the firstborn, where we have the revelation of Hashem himself without the Malach. And I think that's some of the lessons we can learn from this week's parasha. And I thank you all for joining us this evening.